Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, first of all, good evening. Welcome to the programme, a 30-minute rundown of what's been happening news-wise today. So coming up, it's hoped work to revitalise Port St Mary's High Street could kick off next spring. What exactly is the plan and what do locals really think? Also tonight, we look once more into apprenticeships over here with the Education Minister setting out her department's stance. Manx authorities are on alert for a dangerous predator that threatens to devastate the island's bee population. If the skies are clear, you might just catch a glimpse of the Northern Lights this evening. And what do you reckon is the sure sign to know that autumn has arrived? All that, plus we'll keep an eye on the weather and the traffic and travel. And if you'd like to get in touch, you can text us. It's 166 177. We'll start with a news headline roundup with Dave Fastermy.
A classic TT visitor has been fined £1,650 and banned from the road after being caught riding his motorbike without a helmet and then failing to provide a breath sample. Paolo Carnevali of Pesaro, Italy, was sentenced at Douglas Courthouse today after admitting the offences. An interactive exhibition's opened at the sea terminal to encourage public feedback on the Isle of Man's strategic plan review. It uses posters, post-it stickers and a suggestion box to make participation easy and informal. Derby Commissioners says it's removed a small number of components from its play area in the village due to safety concerns. In a statement on Facebook, the local authority confirmed it's a precautionary measure to reduce the potential risks to children. Elsewhere, a criminal who murdered an ex-prison officer has been jailed for at least 45 years. Elias Morgan shot father of three, Lenny Scott, outside a gym in Lancashire last February in a revenge attack, 4 years after his sexual relationship with a female guard was exposed. Vladimir Putin's dismissed suggestions Russia could attack other European states as provocation or incompetence. The Kremlin leader's been speaking in Beijing, where North Korean leader Kim Jong-un's also arrived ahead of a parade tomorrow. And the value of the pound has sunk as the cost of long-term UK government borrowing reached its highest rate this century. It ramps up pressure on the Chancellor, with finances already tight ahead of her budget this autumn. Those are the update news headlines. Next bulletin is at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Dave. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. So tonight it is going to be mainly dry, but it is going to be a little bit cloudy this evening. Light to moderate south or southwest winds. There will be spells of rain developing later in the night, and that rain will be heavy at times tomorrow before it clears to showers in the afternoon. And again, some of those might be heavy. Moderate to fresh east or northeast winds backing northwest by the end of the day. So top temperatures tomorrow around 16. And then Thursday again, sunshine and showers, most likely later on in the day, mainly moderate west or southwest winds, and highest temperatures on Thursday a little bit warmer. They'll be around 17 degrees. Sunset this evening will be at 8 minutes past 8. Sunrise tomorrow morning just before 6:30.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
Simply Income Protection from Kestrel Insurance. A choice of benefits. Simple underwriting and peace of mind with a regular income for up to 2 years if you're unable to work due to illness or injury. Kestrel Insurance is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Carpetland, the carpet specialist with the island's best value carpets in stock. Often fitted within a week. Furnitureland, for three-piece suites, dining and living room furniture. And a selection of amazing beds. Carpetland and Furnitureland, West Street, Ramsey.
Manx Mobility in Onchan have it all. Daily living aids, wide-fitting shoes, rise recliners, beds and scooters, including lightweight and airline-approved models. Call in and see how our expert team can make your life easier. Manx Mobility at the top of Summer Hill.
The exclusive Karcher store is open with thousands of products, accessories and parts in stock. For Karcher sales and service, Hersham Electrical, Shipyard Industrial Estate, Ramsey.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. It's 4:30 past 5. So it's hoped the reconstruction of Port St Mary High Street is going to get underway next spring. Surveying work to map the layout of the infrastructure beneath the road surface gets underway today, and the area's local authority has campaigned for years for this road to be rebuilt. The Infrastructure Minister, Dr. Michelle Haywood, says this is the final stage before her department can approach Treasury for funding.
So the condition of the road surface is best described as very poor. Where the Iris Pipeline was laid. It was the first section of Iris Pipeline to be laid on the island, and the specifications for backfilling that just weren't up to the conditions that are there in the road. So gradually that has settled, which means you get a continual evolution of potholes following the line of that pipeline. So the surface has a number of patches on it. It's tests the suspension of most cars, I would think. It's definitely a self-enforcing 20 mile an hour zone down there, and I am delighted that Treasury has the funds sat there. We just need to get the final design and the business case into Treasury to unlock those funds, and I'm anticipating the work should go ahead in spring 26. This work now will be the last piece that we need to feed into the design to get it finalised.
Just remind us where we are with funding for this, because in the budget earlier this year there was no specific funding for Port St Mary High Street, was there?
This is the last piece for the business case, is just to get this last bit of the design done, because that might just affect some of the final costs, just a small amount. But the Treasury Minister assures me that he has funding there available, so when we put this case in, I fully expect that we will smooth through the process. They've known it's coming for a long time. It will be somewhere between a 5 and 6 month project to fix the road. We have to close the road entirely because of how narrow it is and because of how deep we need to go. The Iris pipeline is quite far below the surface of the road, but it will be a 5 to 6 month project to get it completed.
That's the Infrastructure Minister, Dr. Michelle Hayward, talking to Lewis there. Meanwhile, these local residents are welcoming progress on the issue, which they say is long overdue.
Well, I think it's completely and utterly past time that some work was done. The High Street is an absolute disgrace. Ridiculous. I don't know where the TT course gets all the money. It's all perfectly done, and if anything needs doing, it's done immediately. The High Street's been like that for years, and it's an absolute disgrace.
Do you think, you know, once the work does commence, you know, maybe more businesses will be inclined to come into the town?
Well, I hope so, because at the moment, but Port St Mary's dying. There's nothing, virtually nothing here for anybody to come down to. So any improvements that's done on the roads is a good thing, absolutely.
What attracts people to the town at the moment?
Not much, really, apart from the harbour and people going out fishing with pleasure boats and one thing and another. There's very little, really. There's one or two businesses, but apart from the Co-op and the Manx Lobster, which is doing its best to bring people into the town, there's very little, actually.
It's the last steps towards the work on the High Street in Port St Mary. What do you make of it?
I think it's about time, to be honest. It's needed to be done for years, but finally they're going to get around to doing it, which is good. Yeah, be glad to get it done, I think, because it's probably wrecking a lot of people's tyres and suspension driving up there.
And do you think, you know, once the work is complete, that it will attract more people towards the town?
Oh, you would say so. You'd think so. I think it probably puts people off a lot of the time, because if you get on the bus and go through there, you probably wouldn't want to come back, to be honest.
And as a resident, can I ask, you know, driving through that street, I know sometimes there are potholes on the street, you know, does it damage cars?
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure it does. I try to avoid driving up there if I can, I go around the back, just purely for that fact. It's not a comfortable experience.
That's some of the local residents in Port St Mary welcoming progress on the fact that the High Street there is going to be revitalised, all being well, from next spring. 8 minutes past five. Well, a classic TT visitor has been fined £1,650 and banned from the road after being caught riding his motorbike without a helmet and then failing to provide a breath sample. Paolo Carnavelli from Italy was sentenced at Douglas Courthouse today after admitting the offences, as Siobhan Fletcher reports.
Police spotted the 61-year-old riding his BMW motorbike at 1:06 a.m. on the 29th of August on Ballahutchin Hill in Union Mills. He was said to be weaving from one side of the carriageway to the other and was not wearing protective headgear. Once stopped, he fell sideways off his bike, leading officers to arrest him on suspicion of drink driving. At police headquarters, he made 10 attempts to give breath samples, all of which failed. Later that morning, whilst being booked for the offences, he fainted 3 times and was taken to Nobles Hospital after hitting his head during one of the falls. Carnavali's advocate attributed his fainting to the stress of the situation, as he is a retired police officer with a distinguished career who's ultimately found himself foul of the law. The court heard that the former officer was awarded the City of Pesaro's applause by his hometown's mayor earlier this year for his actions in preventing a suicide attempt in July last year. Carnavali's advocate told the court his client's actions on the Isle of Man were out of the ordinary for him, leaving him deeply embarrassed. Fining Carnavali £1,650 and banning him from the road for 5 years, Deputy High Bailiff Rachel Braidwood told him this could have ended very seriously. It seems extremely surprising that a man of your age, with a career as a police officer behind you, with no previous convictions, has acted in this manner. She added, "I do accept your remorse as being genuine and that you deeply regret your actions on that day. I note your distinguished career as a police officer. All of that makes it even more disappointing that you found yourself in this position today." Carnevale was also ordered to pay prosecution costs of £125 and he'll have to take and pass an extended driving test on the Isle of Man.
That's Siobhan Fletcher reporting. 5:10 now. We have been talking a lot about apprenticeships over the past few weeks. This is because members of the construction industry continue to raise concerns about the amount of support that's available over here. And some would-be apprentices have told us they've been refused by up to 40 different businesses. Well, the Education Minister, Daphne Kane, has been telling us what her department's position on this is.
It's enrolment time in the next couple of weeks where I am informed that apprenticeship numbers since the changes were made to the scheme have been maintained. So only about 60% of them start in September, the others at different points during the year. And my heart goes out to any young person who is, if you can even figure out at a young age what you want to do, and if you are then prevented from doing it because nobody will give you the place that enables you to access the training, then that's really a shame. And in terms of where the department is, we continue to fully fund all the education. The small change was that the large employers of 10 or more employees didn't qualify for an additional, I think it's about £60 a week for the time that that apprentice was away in the classroom learning the various skills. I have had some contact and I'm really happy to engage and continuing to engage with the various groups and individuals to better understand what the issue is and also working with colleagues across government. But the information is that since those changes came in, actually 35 new companies have got on board to offer an apprenticeship. And, you know, the Isle of Man, there is only so much cake. We have to divide it up. We want to give a fair amount to assist where we can. But no, I'm really open to better understanding what exactly is the situation out in the industry, the various trades, what the barriers are for people finding the apprenticeship places. But at the minute, it's a bit bad timing because it's probably in the next couple of weeks that the places that have been offered will be taken up and secured. And at that point, we'll have a better understanding whether there has been a decline in the number of apprenticeships or not. And at the minute, the information I have is that they are pretty much staying level as they have done for recent years.
That is the Education Minister, Daphne Kane. So this issue of apprenticeships, as I say, has been a very popular one over recent weeks. You can find it on social media. Lots of comments on there. And as ever, if you've got any thoughts on it, 166177, or you can email us, studio@manxradio.com.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Nothing to report on the police pages, which is always good. If you do spot anything and are able to let us know, that would be great too. Just to remind you, in Douglas this week, there's that stretch of Tramode Road, which has been closed for repairs to the weir there. There are also temporary lights at the bottom end of Derby Road. That's for sewer work. Temporary lights on Saddle Road for wall repairs. In Port St Mary, the High Street is closed until 6, so another sort of 45 minutes or so. That's for that survey work we've just been hearing about. Glenfaber Road in Peel is closed near the new sewage treatment plant. In St John's all this week, there are temporary lights at the junction with Station Road and Patrick Road, and in Laxey, temporary lights on the Ramsey Road near the Menorca Crossroad. That's 24 hours a day for wall and bank work. Down at the airport, just a slight delay on the London Gatwick flight, but otherwise everything looking okay. And the latest from the steam packet, the Manxman due into Douglas at around 6, heading out again at 7:45, and the Mananan on its way to Liverpool, getting about there in about half an hour or so.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
Well, we're going to stay with the subject of road closures because the Mountain Road is going to be closed between Cregner Bar and Brandywell Corner for around 5 weeks from Monday the 15th of September. So that's just under 2 weeks away. This is for essential construction work to take place. And once again, Siobhan has the details.
Highway services staff will be installing two new surface water culverts to help manage water on the road and reduce the risk of ice during winter. One will be located below Kate's Cottage and the other just south of Keppel Gate. These works will involve excavations of up to 2.5 metres deep across the full width of the road, followed by full resurfacing of around 350 metres of carriageway and associated line marking. The work was originally scheduled for spring of this year, but had to be postponed due to a breakdown at the DOI's asphalt plant. It's now being carried out as soon as possible after the Manx Grand Prix to ensure completion before winter, when prevailing weather conditions are more likely to prevent works or significantly extend the timeframe of the scheme. The DOI also confirmed additional resurfacing work originally planned for north of Keppel Gate will no longer be needed, as recent retexturing has significantly improved grip in that area. Infrastructure Minister Michelle Haywood said this scheme is vital for road safety. The section of road to be worked on has seen 5 injury collisions in the past 3 years. The department has worked closely with the Isle of Man Constabulary to identify and address the issues. In addition, ACU Events, the organiser of the TT races, has also requested that these works be undertaken ahead of TT 2026. She added, "We apologise for any disruption this might cause motorists, but I'm sure everyone appreciates that it is essential that we put safety first. I'd like to thank motorists for their patience and understanding whilst we carry out these important improvements." A full list of further roadworks and the various access points for businesses in the area are all available at manxradio.com.
Siobhan Fletcher reporting there, and of course we'll give you a reminder as that closure date looms a little bit later on this month. It's coming up to 16 minutes past five. Now, the Manx authorities are on the guard against a voracious predator. It's a yellow-legged Asian hornet, and after appearing in the south of Britain, it has now spread to Yorkshire. And if it did come to the Isle of Man, it could create havoc on the bee population. Government bee advisor Harry Owen says warning traps are now in place at Manx ports.
The hornet goes and hovers round where the bees are coming back with their nectar, water or pollen or whatever, and grabs them, cuts them up and takes them into their colony and feeds their larvae on the carcass of the bee. And not only bee carcasses, but the eating of using all the insects that they possibly can get their hands on or their mandibles on and feed their larvae. So it, not only the bees that get affected, but all other sorts of insects are in the ecology and affects everything.
But they can't fly across the Irish Sea, presumably. So how would they get here?
So it all started in France quite a number of years ago when a consignment of goods came into France to a garden centre, and the packaging had a one or maybe more queens, Asian queens in hibernation. They were in Cambridge, they're now in the Yorkshire area. What it is they come in a container of some description. They could come in a pallet in the hibernation stage and emerge in the spring from that pallet. The one individual queen starts the colony off on her own, as does a bumblebee. A queen bumblebee does the same. So these have got that potential of coming in and expanding.
Acting independently. And
oh, yeah. One insect can create 100 drones at some months later, if you understand my logic on that. And a nest can be the size of a dustbin. They're extremely protective. If anybody disturbs one of those nests, you would be in very deep trouble.
Sounds horrific, doesn't it? That's Harry Owens talking to John Moss there. If you want to see a photograph of this hornet, just go to manxradio.com. Now, we heard about this yesterday, the former Barclays Bank building being taken over by Manx National Heritage in Castletown. Well, the chair of the commissioners there says he's pleased about it. M&H has submitted this planning application to turn the property into a centre, which could have a retail space, a visitor hub and also offices as well. Tony Brown thinks the organisation's commitment to Castletown and its heritage offering is enhanced, but he also thinks the government needs to be providing more support.
I think it's fantastic news. I mean, we've got a big building there. It's actually an old market building, and it used to be open. So where the windows are used to be entrances in and out, so it would be a food market. So it's got a historical connection with the town in terms of going back hundreds of years. But I think most importantly, now we have lost the banks, which is most unfortunate, that we are in a position to maximise this building for the benefit of Castletown and the Isle of Man. And I'm, as I said tonight, the board are pleased because we are delighted that M&H have decided to invest in Castletown, in this building, to provide a new centre, providing information for tourists and locals so people can see what's available here about the island, go into there for information. It's just good news.
You did say during the meeting that you had a meeting with Manx National Heritage earlier in May. So how did that go? And was this the expected outcome that you had from that meeting?
First meeting we had as a new board was with Manx National Heritage because we see that as critical in terms of partners with the town to make sure the town maximises what it's got. And Castletown has basically most of the history of the Isle of Man in it because it was the capital for hundreds of years. So we had a meeting with Manx National Heritage. We were concerned that they were not able to open the Grammar School, the Old House of Keys and the Nautical Museum on a daily basis throughout the summer period. And we've made that point very strongly to them. Hopefully next year, we hope they will be in a position to fund opening it on a full-time basis through those periods.
That's Chair of Castletown Commissioners Tony Brown talking to our local democracy reporter Emma Draper. We have asked for a response from government to Mr Brown's comments. It's coming up to 20 past five, so there is one sure sign that we have entered the season of autumn. And it's the fact that the UK Met Office has given us a list of storm names that may or may not arrive in the months ahead. Do you know, it's been 10 years since its practice of naming them started, and John Moss, who got wind of what to expect, has this report.
Bram and Dave and Eddie, these are the chosen names by the Met Office for the earlier of the storms that, let's face it, will arrive, or at least some of them. The Met Office say giving them names has proven beneficial in raising awareness and saving lives since this practice started in 2015. So what were the first roaring rascals called in 2015? Well, from November in that year through to March 2016, 11 storms earned names. Abigail, Barney, Clodagh. Do you remember Clodagh Rogers, who had a hit with... Seems strangely appropriate for a storm. Storms Desmond, Eva, Frank, Gertrude, Henry, Imogen. What about those who stayed on the bench in 2015-2016, who weren't used? Storms Lawrence, Mary, Storm Nigel, Storm Orla, Storm Phil, Storm Rhonda. Of course, some blows arrived too early to get names, like in 1987.
Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
Any thought of bringing back the unused storm names and using them the next year? Well, this year's selection of boisterous blows have been made out. And listen for Amy, Bram, a Manx connection there, from the forward to Bram Stoker's Dracula to Hobby Begg, who was the Manx resident Hall Caine. Chandra, Dave, Eddie, which conjures up a slight movement in water, doesn't it? Fionnuala, Gerard, Hannah, Isla, Jana, Cassia. There are more, but let's not tempt fate by naming all the possibilities, except the last, the first Dutchman into space, Vuboer Eckels, who was one of the crew on the space station, from which lofty perch he would have been able to look down on any storms a brewing down below as they blew themselves out. Gone in a puff, you might say.
John Moss reporting. Storm Dave and Storm Isla. How would you feel if your name is chosen as a storm name? You can let us know about that one. 22 minutes past five. Now, Isle of Man residents will have the opportunity to see the northern lights tonight, hopefully, if there's not too much cloud cover. They were actually visible last night, but it was really cloudy, so that hampered the view. But it is hoped tonight the light show will be enhanced and could be seen as early as 11 p.m. Howard Parkin is from Astro Manx.
You don't want the moon around, and the moon is full on the 7th, so we need to be watching tonight and tomorrow at the latest, because the moon will drown it possibly if we get a clear skies. So what happened is the sun emitted some activity. What we call a coronal mass ejection took place on Saturday, late on Saturday, and it takes a little bit of time, and you consider it's 93 million miles away. This material from the sun impacted the Earth's upper atmosphere and causing the aurora. So there's a very good chance, as I say, it has been seen elsewhere in the UK and further afield. I'm not sure of the level. We haven't got the actual level of how high it is yet, but it's obviously quite level to be seen this far south. So it's quite an exciting prospect. We did have some magnificent aurora last year. In October in particular last year, we had probably the best aurora we've seen for 70-odd years, and people saw it all over the island. It was a fantastic night. And statistically, you see the aurora more spectacularly and more frequently after what we call the solar peak. And the solar peak was in April this year. So I've been telling people for some time now that the aurora should be even better, hopefully, than even last October. There are no signs that this particular display is as dramatic, but keep your eyes and ears peeled. Statistically, the best time to see aurora is always as late as possible, around 11 o'clock. Again, there are always exceptions to the rule. Last year, I saw it very vividly at 10 o'clock. But statistically, the best time to see aurora is usually around midnight. And obviously, in as dark a part of the sky you can get, with a horizon view where there's no lights coming at you, it'll fade again quite quickly. But you never know, we might get another display in the not-too-distant future.
That is Howard Parkin from Astro Manx. So fingers crossed, if you are a Northern Lights fan, and who isn't, you might be able to see it tonight. So hopefully from around about 11 p.m, if you just find one of the dark spots around the island, and let us have your pictures if you get any. We'd love to see those and share those on social media. Coming up to 25 past five, time for sport now with our sports editor, Rob Pritchard.
Fast am I. Well, starting with motorsport, a rider who was involved in a crash at this year's Classic TT has given an update on his recovery. Andy Whale was involved in an incident at Glen Helen on the opening lap of the lightweight TT race on Monday, the 25th of August. In a post on social media, Whale says the main injury was fractured C1 and C2 vertebrae in the neck, which is now stable, adding, other than that, it was just bruises and concussion. Furthermore, Whale is thanking people who've reached out to him to wish him well and that he had the right gear on to help minimise the damage. Elsewhere in cycling, Manxman Matthew Bostock was the Great Britain cycling team's highest finisher on the opening stage of the 2025 Lloyd's Tour of Britain Men this afternoon. Following today's opening phase in Suffolk from Woodridge to Southwold, Bostock finished in 30th place. Elsewhere, former World Scratch Race champion Ben Swift, who represented the Isle of Man at the 2022 Commonwealth Games, finished 58th in the colours of Ineos Grenadiers. Well, tomorrow's second stage of the tour will involve a route covering just over 174 kilometres in Baburg and mid-Suffolk, starting and finishing in the town of Stowmarket. And finally, the opening fixtures of the 2025-26 Isle of Man hockey season have been announced. The Manx Hockey Association's confirmed the mixed senior and under 15 leagues will begin on Saturday, the 13th of September. Matches are then scheduled each week up until the 1st of November, after which the mixed Premier League and mixed Division 3 will split, with further fixtures across the board after that date still to be confirmed. Elsewhere, there will again be three mixed cup competitions for 25-26. They are the Mixed Cup, Mixed Plate and Mixed Bowl. Rounds 1 and 2 of those tournaments will be held on the 18th of October and 15th of November, respectively, with plans to hold the finals on the 13th of December. 8 teams will be involved in both the Mixed Premier League and Mixed Division 3, whilst Mixed Division 2 and Mixed Division 3 will feature 6 sides each. All fixtures do remain subject to change, and you can view the opening weekend's fixtures for the 25-26 hockey campaign at manxradio.com.
Rob, thank you very much indeed. I think I should just share, you've had a great idea, OK? We're just hearing about storm names, which the UK Met Office has issued. We need storm names with a Manx theme.
Yeah,
I think it's genius.
We were just coming up with a couple, weren't we, a few minutes ago. So we might be onto something there.
I think we could be. So Storm Kenyick.
Storm Kenyick, Storm Aylan, Storm Aylan, Brescia.
Yeah. I think there's potential here. Let's name our own storms. Rob, thank you very much indeed. That is all from Update this evening. Now, coming up next at 5.30, it's an Island Life special where we reflect on 80 years since the end of World War II. And it's a chance to hear an in-depth conversation with 103-year-old veteran of the Forgotten Army, James Fenton, and also a selection of interviews with residents of the island who celebrated victory in Europe. It's well worth listening to that. A very poignant programme. After that, it will be Greatest Hits with Chris Kinley from 6 p.m. At 9, we have The Folk Show with John Barker. And then Dave will be here with you. Storm Dave. Ha ha ha. No, probably shouldn't say that. But he'll be here with the After Hours. We'll be back tomorrow.